Father, we're just so thankful that we've been able to gather back together once again in your wonderful name. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your love for us and your caring for us. We thank you that your hand has been so firmly planted against each one of us, that we're your children and the sheep of your pasture. And we praise you, Father, for this time that we have together. Amen. In Genesis, the first chapter and the first verse, says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." The Bible tells us that God created all things, that all things were created by Him and for Him, and that there was nothing created that was created. That He is the creator of all things. And His ultimate creation, or His crowning glory of creation, is man. God has invested a lot in man. He created man in His image and in His likeness. And even in the beginning, He said that there would be a way made for man to return back to Him. And God is sovereign. And in Philippians 2 and verse 13, it tells us, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Will is to be resolved or determined, to propose, to take delight, or to have pleasure. Do is to be operative, to be at work, to put forth power. And pleasure is choice, delight, pleasure, satisfaction, or desire. The Amplified Bible reads that, "Now, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually working, at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight." The Message Bible said that energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you, God Himself willing and working at what will give Him the most pleasure. And I've been thinking about this verse of Scripture. You know, man says, or a lot of people say, "Well, we have a free will. We're free moral agents," you know. But here it says, "It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." And in Romans 9:16 it says, "So that it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." Amplified says, "So then God's gift is not a question of human will and human effort, but of God's mercy. It depends not on one's own willingness, nor on his strenuous exertion, as in running a race, but on God's having mercy on him." And I was thinking, you know, the Bible tells us, or Jesus said, that no man can come to the Father except God draws him. And Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" And he told him, he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Man cannot even love God unless God has first drawn him to him. We are dead in our trespasses and sin. Man cannot respond to him. Man is the only one of God's creation that He created in His image and in His likeness. Man is the only one in God's whole creation that God said that we are partakers of the divine nature. Man is the only one that God sent His only begotten Son to pay the price for the sins of all humanity, that man may be restored back into the Father. And we look at how God has so nurtured man. We look at, more especially from the days of Martin Luther's 95 Theses on the church door, how that God began a restoration of restoring truth back to His creation. And how that He has had out of every one of His moves, every move of God on the earth, He has drawn a remnant out with a new revelation, with a new impartation of the Word of God, and has caused them to walk in a new and a deeper realm with Him. We all come to Him as babes. But He said that we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to mature. We're to cultivate that relationship with God. I mean, we're not to remain as babies in God. We're to grow up. We're to mature. And the only way we can do that is by cultivating that relationship with Him. By realizing our inadequacy to grow in Him by ourselves. If we could, we would do it today. We're clothed upon with His righteousness. Everything is of God. In Him we live and move and have our being. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul said, I can only boast in the cross. The great apostle, with all that God did through him, could only boast in the cross. And man, when God calls us to come into relationship with Him, man's response is yes. And then we begin to grow. And as I said, out of every move of God, God has had a remnant. But somewhere along the road, God called a people to sonship. And that people has flowed easily from one move to another. That remnant has been taught of God. God gave them a teachable heart to receive His revelation in this hour, and have grown in Him, His Word being revealed in the midst of them. You know, the fact of the matter is that we were dead in our trespasses and sin when He quickened us and raised us up together and seated with Him in heaven places in Galatians 2:13. And you being dead. You know, what I'm seeing is that man cannot respond to God out of himself. Our response must first come because God has called us. And man is right where he's supposed to be. Because he has called us to be his people. You know, when you look at what God is doing, what he has done and is doing for man, for his creation. Man in the garden disobeyed God. And that was not because God had to have a plan B. That was plan A. And man died spiritually to God. God never left man, but man left God in his mind. He was separated in his mind from God. And God sent Jesus to restore that relationship. And God has called us to be an expression of Himself in the earth. Let me say that again. God has called us to be an expression of Himself in the earth. To express the true nature, the true love, the true mercy, the true grace of God into the earth. People are telling lies about God. I mean, they say he'll send his creation or most of his creation to a burning hell. That's a lie. People have created a religion that is to their liking, that suits what they want. But beloved, God has called us to follow him whithersoever he goeth. But we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were of the uncircumcision of the flesh. But he quickened, made us alive together with him, forgave all your trespasses, blotted out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, spoiled the principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, and triumph over them in it. So the fact is that God did it all. When God called Abraham, you know, the fact is that people want to think, what a great man. Yes, Abraham was the father of our faith. But when came time for God to cut a covenant with man, he took man out of the way. And he became the one that wrote the covenant and the one that guaranteed that it would be accomplished. And he that began a good work in us is going to finish that work. In this hour that he is calling us unto himself in a place of intimate relationship with him. In this hour, God is unveiling himself to a people. He said that as we behold him, we are transformed into the same image that he is as we behold him. You know, we know that there's nothing we could do to bring about the manifestation of the sons of God. If there was, we would be doing it. The Lord knows we would be doing it. We would hasten that day if we could. But I tell you that God has a purpose. God has a plan that his people are going to walk through until that day of manifestation. Now, first thing was to love God. You know, it was of God. God called us. The second thing is to love one another. But you know, it says herein in John 1 verse 10, herein is love. God says this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Love is not that we love God, but that God loved us. He's calling us into the innermost part of himself, that he may reveal his word. We are his ambassadors. You know, this world is not going to see another Jesus except the corporate son. They're going to behold the manifested Son of God. And that Son is a Son that is going through the processes of being transformed and being changed by the Word of God. And the other commandment was likened to the first, that we love one another as he loved us. And the second commandment is just as impossible for us to do as the first commandment. Because all we can see is the faults and the failures of all creation outside of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. You see, where the church has fallen down so many times, you look around you, and what do you see? Same denominations, just a few blocks or miles from each other, that have split off from each other because they could not get along together. weren't because of doctrine, because they're the same denomination. It was simply because they cannot get along. But Jesus said, as I have loved you, so love you one another. An impossibility in the human realm. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit that the Spirit produces in us out of a relationship with God is love. As we behold Him, we are transformed into the same image, becoming more and more like Him. God is going to express Himself through a people. God is going to show Himself to this world through a people. And that people that have walked with Him, those sons of God who have walked with Him and come to know the reality of who He is. Come to know the reality of who He is. That's the whole thing of it. We are becoming like Him. Sons that will express the true nature of God. And the only way we can do that is come into that personal, close relationship with Him. In chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war, wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares in the swords, and your pruning hooks in the spears. Let the weak say, I am strong." Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's not what I do, it's what I be. It's the reality of Christ in me that is producing the nature of God that the world can see. Who He is. The reality of Him. Not some false man's idea of who God is, but the reality of Him. The love that He has for all creation. And He says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the redeemed say so. Am I boasting in myself? No, I am boasting in Him. I am strong in Him. No weapon that is formed against us can prosper. And God is bringing and drawing and changing us into His image. And so, going back to the verse I read to begin with, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It is God that worketh in you. Following Him. And as we come into relationship with Him, we hear His voice. We hear His words. And His Spirit is changing our mind, our soul, our heart. Is being transformed as we see Him into the same image that He is. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. No other creation that God created did He put His Spirit in. No other creation did He breathe into the breath of life and man became a living soul. God's ultimate creation is man. And He was created for a purpose. And that purpose has never changed. He proposed in Himself. And no man can turn His purpose. Because He is bringing it forth in this hour. To be an expression of Himself in the earth. God is going to express Himself to creation. Through His manifested sons. And it's only as we are being transformed and changed and renewed in our mind, in our thinking, we are progressing closer and closer to that day of manifestation. As we are being transformed in our mind, metamorphosed in our thinking, we are growing closer and closer to that day of transformation. Here am I, Lord. Whatever you want, whatever you desire, I am more than a conqueror. No temptation that has overtaken us, what is common man, that he will make a way of escape, that we may be able to bear it. We know that we are more than conquerors. We are overcomers, not because of us, but we have seen our weaknesses and seen his strength. We have seen our inabilities and seen his abilities. We have heard his word that he that began a good work in us is going to finish. We have heard his word that we are more than conquerors through Christ that saved us. We have seen him deliver us time and time again. And we know that we have tried to change this flesh man many times and have failed. So we surrender it to him. We come to him and recognize that the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm dead, I'm crucified, but yet I live. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith. His strength, his power, his grace, his mercy gives me the courage to face the tomorrows of my life with the realization that everything that touches my life, he knows that I can walk through, that I can overcome, that I can continue on in him because he has designed it in his purpose. Because he knows what it's going to take to bring all of the changes in us. So we surrender. We give it to him. And we allow him to lead and to guide us. Because it's him that is creating and energizing us in the power and desire to do his will. It's all God. It's none of me. It's all God. And Paul so many times said, that I may know him and that you may know him. That's the knowledge of him is the birthing of the sons of God. The knowledge of the reality of the Christ in us and walking in that reality and in that relationship with him, leaning on him and drawing from him the word. He said, the Spirit said he will tell you all things. We have it. No man needs to teach you. That's, you know, and of course, I'm not saying that we don't need ministers and pastors and teachers and all that. I am saying that we as individuals must come into that relationship to hear his word in us revealed. Because it is his word revealed in us that is going to change us. It is his revelation unveiled in us that is going to change us. And we are being changed into the same image and the same likeness. Because God is going to express himself in earth to the world. Amen.